Thank you. You can be seated. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. We are glad to see each one this morning. Glad to have every visitor that would come this way. We're glad to have those that be on the outside listening on the radio or on the radio. Just glad that the Lord is blessed. We're able to come and worship together. And I need your prayer. And I say that every service, I know, but I certainly need your prayer this morning. I just a little uneasy. I've got a burden on my heart. It's just got me a little bit emotional this morning. So you just pray for me that I could get across the message that God has placed on my heart. We're going to begin in Mark chapter 4. And we're going to begin reading what about verse 35. And the same day, when the even was come, he said unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there was also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awaken him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? The one thing about Jesus is he never ceases to amaze us. Whenever you think you've seen, you know, something great from the Lord, he comes along and he trumps that. He shows you something even greater. He's always one that's able to wow us. When you read about Jesus in Scripture, even those that hated him, they were astonished at his doctrine. It just overwhelmed them. There would be times when they would gather together and counsel how they could set a trap for the Lord. And they would go and they would say, no matter how he answers this question, we've got him. And then he would turn around and answer their question with a question. And they would not answer it. They'd just walk away because they realized there's no way we can answer that. If we do, we're in trouble. And so he would turn the tables. He would astonish even those that were what you might think of as the wisest people on earth at that time, that he would just astonish them. And then he would do miracles. And they would even question, there's just no way that anyone could do this except it be of God. Even those that criticized him. You think about Pharisees and the one that would come to Jesus and say, We know that you're a teacher come from God. Nobody can do the things you do except you be from God. So we know that. So, even though these disciples had seen Jesus do great things, they still let fear overcome them. And then Jesus come to their rescue one more time. You know, growing up on O'Neill Hill as a young child, Dad, and I know I've told you all about Daddy before and how he raised me, but he always kept two wild hogs penned up. Grandpa usually caught hogs, and Daddy would get two, and we would fatten them up. And about the first frosty morning, we took care of that until the next time Grandpa caught some hogs. But I remember as a real, I don't remember just how old I was, but I'm going to say probably 7, 8 years old, it became my chore to feed those hogs. And so Daddy showed me how we would do that. And he took a 5-gallon bucket and he filled it about half full of corn. And then he would fill it with water till it's about 3/4 full after the corn swole up. About 3/4 full. And I thought, you want me to carry this bucket all the way up that hill every day of my life to feed those hogs? So, well, you'll appreciate it come the fall. I don't know that I ever really liked pork that much, to be honest with you, but it didn't matter. That was my chore. And I can remember as a little boy taking that bucket and bending back and carrying it up that hill to feed the hogs. And it wasn't long in doing that, he said, I'm going to get you to start carrying two buckets. up the hill. And he come and he didn't fill it half full. You know, both buckets together was about half full. So now I had a little more, but not much more. He said, the hogs are getting bigger. They need to eat more. So we're going to fill these buckets a little bit, you know, about half full. And I had to carry those. And I said, Daddy, there's no way I can carry that. There's no way. The extra weight, I cannot carry that up the hill. I can barely carry the other bucket up the hill. He said, I think you can. I think you can, and if you can't, you can always come back and make two trips. And so he had me there. I just sat there. I'm not making two trips. But what Daddy realized was, I've watched you grow. I know you can. You might not want to, but I know you can. And besides that, the extra weight is going to balance you out a little bit. And it is easier to carry two buckets half full than it is to carry one bucket three quarters full. It's just easier. And so I didn't trust him to start with. I just don't think I can do that. I don't believe that I can. He knew I could. I doubted, but he knew. I doubted, but I learned, even through that process, I can trust him. I can trust what Daddy's saying. He does know more than I do. He knows. And the Lord loves his disciples. I believe it's evident here. You know, a lot of times we beat those disciples up. Well, they doubted and they didn't have any faith. Why didn't they have faith? Of course, he asked that question. How is it that you don't have faith? He asked it because you've seen me bless you so many times. You have seen me take care of things so many times. You have seen people healed. You have seen, you know, great things. You've heard my doctrine. You believe that I am the Son of God. You believe that in your heart. And so how is it that you don't trust me here? But the Lord loved his disciples. And even though they failed the test somewhat, he still taught them, you can trust me. I can speak to the storm, and even the storm obeys me. And they were exceeding fearful. This time it wasn't, you know, just scared to death of him in particular, but rather they respected him. They understood him. They realized we can trust the Lord in any situation because even the wind and the sea obeys him. So he was teaching them even whenever they were failing the test. See, this morning, trust does not come natural. I don't know any human being it comes natural to. By nature, we want to criticize, and by nature we want to refrain from trusting. By nature we question everything. And boy, we've got to a place in society where that is kind of how we do anything. We question everything. We question everything. And so that is our nature. And often the chores that maybe the Lord would have for us seem too much. Often whenever we're going through things in life, it seems like it's just too much. How many times have you been in a situation in life where maybe you question, and I know none of us would ever question out loud, God, why are you doing this? Maybe, but maybe in our heart, we say, God, why is it that you are allowing me to go through this much trouble? Why does it have to be this way? Maybe we ask the question, God, when are you going to fix this? When are you going to help us? When are you going to take care of it like I'm trusting you to do? See, these Jews, these disciples, they came to the Lord because they realized he is our hope. But when they come to him, they didn't come to him in faith. They come to him doubting, maybe you don't even love us. Maybe you don't care about what we're going through. Trust does not come natural. When the storms of life come our way, this is just too rough. This trial is too much of a fiery trial. So this morning, what I want to help us to see, or I say help us, I want to remind us, Jesus is completely trustworthy. And He is trustworthy beyond what He is trustworthy beyond what we feel. A lot of times we feel certain ways and our emotions lie to us. Our emotions make us feel like we're in a hopeless situation. But Jesus is more trustworthy than what you feel. He's more trustworthy than what you see in others. A lot of times you look at others and you say, I've got the utmost faith in this person. And then that person lets you down. And you say, see, there's no such thing as trustworthiness. Even though they had doubt, He still calmed the storm. This is not meant to break them, but to strengthen them. It was not this trial that they went through. When He said, let us go to the other side, He knew the storm was on the way. He knew what they would face. He went down and He went to sleep to let them handle things on their own. But it was never meant to totally break them. It was meant to show them you can depend on Jesus. Jesus is trustworthy. As a man came to Jesus in Mark chapter 9, down about halfway in the passage there, a man comes to Jesus and he said, I've brought my son to your disciples and they could not help him. He has a spirit about him. That this spirit is a dumb spirit. It teareth him. And I want you to get this picture of a father that is overwhelmed by what he's going through. By what he's watching his son go through. He said this spirit that is within him, it teareth him. This spirit that's about him makes him foam at the mouth. The spirit that's about him causes him to gnash his teeth in pain. The spirit that's about him, he describes it this way. He said, he just pineth away. I tell you what, for a daddy to watch his child pine away, that's overwhelming. That's an overwhelming thing. And he sees that. And he says that this spirit has caused my son to throw himself in the fire and in the water to destroy him. That's what he's watching. Now, I want you to picture this father. He's come to the disciples and they could not help him. And now he's come to Jesus. No doubt by this time, he's at his wit's end. I have tried everything. I have tried everything. He's probably been to doctors. I know the scripture doesn't tell us that. He's probably tried all the old wives' tales. He's probably, you know, every remedy that somebody could come up with. You know, he's probably done all kind of things. I've come to the disciples, the church. They could not help him. Now I've come to you. And he says, if thou can do anything, have compassion and help us. Lord, if you can do anything. What I want you to see here is not that we always look at this and we say, oh, the lack of faith that the man had. I want you to see that, but I also want you to see how Jesus responds to it. He didn't say, you have no faith, get out of here. He didn't say, well, if you don't have any faith, I don't have any time for you. He said, if you can just believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And not only that, the man is he's desperate and he's begging. And Jesus said, how long has it been with the boy this way? Let's have a conversation. Let's calm down a little bit. Let's calm down a little bit. Let's get out of our emotions for just a minute. Just tell me about the boy. How long has it been this way? Well, from a child it's been this way. If you can do anything, help him. He said, if you can just believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And then he helps him. A child with a spirit that is so terrifying, a man had to guard him from the water and the fire. Can you imagine the stress that would put somebody under to just every day and night. You're just wondering, am I going to be there in time? Am I going to be able to rescue him next time he tries to hurt himself? Every time you watch him, every time you see him stumble, you jump, trying to just catch him because I don't want him to get hurt. The stress that man must have been under. And he says, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. I love that statement. Thank God we have a patient teacher. Thank God we have a long-suffering Lord that He realizes. He knoweth our frame. He understands we're just dust. At the end of the day, the Lord knows that about us. And I'm not trying, you understand, I've preached that we are to have faith. I'm not trying to give us some loophole. But this morning, I want you to understand that as human beings, we are growing. That there's times whenever those that have great faith have less faith. There's times whenever someone might have faith in one episode of their life and the next time they fail. Next time it may be you that's in that position. There's times whenever Peter really stood up. There's other times when Jesus was chastening him, correcting him. Because he messed up this time. Boy, those disciples, they had great faith at this episode. But we get over here and man, they kind of let me down this time. I thought that by now they'd be trusting me. If you're here and you're lost, let me speak to you this morning. Maybe in just a little bit different light than what you're used to. You see, this morning the world might have scared you to death. It can do that. The world we live in can be very scary. If you're lost, it can be terrifying to be lost. You might have trusted someone along the way that has let you down. Chances are you have. Chances are somebody's hurt you. Chances are somebody has stabbed you in the back. Chances are somebody has went out and broadcast something that you asked to keep private. Chances are somebody has let you down. And whenever that happens, we build walls. You might have been wounded by a loved one that should have helped you. It happens. It's happening more and more in our day and time. It happens. You might have been let down by religion. I'm going to tell you something. A lot of times church people let you down. And I'm not saying, in no way am I saying somebody at Clear Branch has let me down. Don't even get that idea. But I do know that a lot of times church people let others down. You see something in them maybe at church and you see something different when you get away from church. Or they talk one way and they do another. And that can wound us. I can tell you in my childhood, they're about 16 years old, I drank my first beer and the reason I did is because a deacon of the church gave it to me. He let me down. He let me down big time. And that's not making an excuse for me. I still knew better. But I thought, well, if a deacon of the church can do it, ain't nothing wrong with a 16-year-old boy doing it. And so you might have been wounded by somebody that you love. It might have been somebody that was extremely religious that you felt like, well, I thought better of them, but they have let me down. You might have been betrayed by those that you put your sincere trust in. But I'm going to tell you something this morning. They are not Jesus. If you are lost, you are not looking to someone to save you. If you are lost, don't look up here at the pastor to save you. If you are lost, don't look at these church members and think, boy, I'm as good as those church members are, because these church members cannot save you. Jesus is the only one that can pay that price. He's the only one that can take care of that because he was perfect enough that Jesus said he would. The Father said Jesus will do to pay the sin debt of the entire world because he's the only one that is able to do that. Nobody else can. And so, if you're lost, you trust Jesus. Jesus came to save sinners. He is completely trustworthy when no one else may be. Look over, if you will, at Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18 and verse 9 says here, "And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican." I'm going to tell you something. Pharisees still exist today. Now, maybe they don't call themselves Pharisees, but there's a lot of people that think, "I'm right and the rest of the world is wrong. I'm right unless you just like I am, I don't associate with you." There's people like that in the world today. This Pharisee was that way. It says, "The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself." He wasn't really praying to God, was he? He was praying thus with himself. "God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess." And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. False religion depends upon good works. There's a lot of that that's going on in our world today. It always has, but it is very, very evident. Everywhere you look, you see false religion. People trying to be good enough. And what you see in that is a lot of hypocrisy. Because no matter how good you are, others can see your faults. There's people that stand in pulpits and talk about how perfect they are, and they've never sinned since, you know, "Last 9 years, I haven't committed any sin whatsoever." And I tell you something about that. People see that and they see through it. Because you are human. And even though maybe somebody has been sinned, we still have to contend with the flesh every day. And we still make mistakes. And people see that and they witness that about us. So, false religion depends upon being good. "I did this and I did that." False religion points the finger at others, other sinners, and points out all their wrong. Look at how this man, he points at the publican and he says, "I'm not like this man." And as he's doing that, he's ignoring what's really going on inside of him. Now the publican, possibly he's seen this Pharisee, and if anything, he's witnessed hate out of him. "So you can do all these good things, but you still hate me." So he's not as perfect as he thinks he is. I'm going to tell you what this publican could have done. He could have let this hypocrisy hinder him. Instead, he didn't let the Pharisee get in the way. He trusted Jesus. He trusted the Lord, and the righteousness of Jesus was imputed on him for justification. It wasn't that this man trusted and he become without sin and holy and perfect in himself. He trusted the Lord, and the Lord justified him because the righteousness of Christ is imputed upon him. That's the way it is when we get saved. When I got saved, it wasn't that I become perfect in and of myself. It was the righteousness of Christ put upon me. He trusted the Lord, and the Lord did not let him down. He's trustworthy. Lost sinner, maybe you're saying in your heart, "I want to believe. I want to believe. I want to be saved, but there's just so many things that I have questions about. There's so many people that I don't understand. Maybe you're sitting there this morning, you say, it sounds so good to never worry about hell again. That sounds wonderful. It sounds wonderful to be a child of God, to be able to look at death and see eternal life in its place. I tell you this morning, it is wonderful. It is wonderful to look at death and see eternal life. That's what I see. But it's not because of who I am or how good I am. I see eternal life because I trust in Jesus. I don't see death. I see eternal life. To have peace that passeth understanding. Such a wonderful thing. But in order to be saved, you're saved by grace through faith. You know what that means? Grace is what Jesus has already done. That's the grace that you need to be saved. Jesus did on Calvary what's needed to purchase your salvation. It's already been purchased. Now, it took care of everything has been taken care of for you to be saved. But what it means is, by faith, it means that you have to be able to trust somebody. And not just anybody, you have to be able to trust Jesus. Without being able to trust Jesus, you cannot be saved. And so don't let the world let you down to a point where you say, I don't believe I can trust what I'm hearing. I don't believe I can trust in Jesus. Because I'm going to tell you something, you're right. I'm just a man. You know the Bible says it's through the foolishness of preaching that men are saved. You know why? Because you can see a preacher that has faults. You can see a preacher that is, you know, is not perfect. But you can hear the words of God. And God's word can convict your heart. And in your heart you can trust. Not because I said it. You trust it because it's here. This is perfect. The truth shall set you free. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by Him. So this morning, if you can let go and just turn to Jesus and trust Him, He'll save you to the uttermost. He'll save you as much as you possibly can be saved. We who are saved, I want to encourage you this morning as we come to a close. Let us show the lost sinner that our God is great. Let us show in our life. That's why it's so important that these disciples, even though they had already trusted the Lord, they had already been preaching, no doubt. But it's so important that they learn. We can trust our God in every situation. We can trust Him in the storm. We can trust Him no matter what we face. That's why it's so important. Because the lost see us. And if our gospel's hid, it's hid to them that's lost. And whenever we do not show faith in God, it shows the lost world that they don't trust Him either. They need to see something different in us. You pray for me. I want the lost, when they see me, anybody, lost, saved, whoever sees me, I want them to see that I trust Jesus with all of my heart, every day of my life, in every situation. I know that's a growing process, but we need to grow up. We need to grow up and show the world Christ in us. We ask for something.